So Proverbs 27 and verse 21, do we have that up there, Zach? Can you throw it up there? And this is in the Amplified Classic Version. All right, so you want to look on the screen. It won't be in your word the same way. But it says, as a refining pot for silver and the furnace for gold bring forth all the impurities of the metal, so let a man be in his total in his trial of praise, ridding himself of all that is base or insincere. For a man is judged by what he praises and of what he boasts. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of your word that's changed our lives so beautifully. Lord, I pray that your word would continue to wash, to cleanse, to renew, to rebuild, and to strengthen the way that we think according to your kingdom principles. Lord, we repent of any thoughts that we've had about you, ourselves, or anyone around us that's contrary to your word. For we know that you have called us to this time and this season, to this day, to magnify you, and in doing that, to love one another. And Father, we thank you for those lives that have been saved, that have been set free, that have been delivered, and for the ones that are coming today and every day for the rest of our lives because of the power of your great love towards us. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the one thing that we see in here, silver and gold have no ability in themselves to purify themselves. You agree? Right. So the focus really is the refining pot and the furnace, the two that we don't like. We don't like it when the heat's turned up, but that's what God does. He's the pot, he's the furnace. And he knows what's inside of each and every one of us. He knows how he's created you. He knows what he's deposited in there. And is he, or should we allow God to receive a return on the deposit that he's made? Right? Isn't that fair? Right? He created us in his own image, right? He's created us, and then he deposited, because everyone has a measure of what? Faith. Tell your neighbor, say, you've got faith. Tell your other neighbor, say, you definitely have faith. Come on. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God, right? Because by faith, we're saved. Amen? Because of God's grace through faith, right? We accept Jesus Christ and we're saved. So it's all by faith. So God has put a deposit on the inside of each and every one of us. He gave us his only begotten son, right? He gave us the gift of the Holy Ghost. So does he deserve a return on your life for what he has deposited? See, that's the key that we have to think about. Because if not, the only thing we're looking at is trying to please ourselves. And we already know, you know, it's no longer we that live, but it's Christ. We understand that. But there's a deposit that's been made in each one of us. And we know the scripture, right, that some had 10 talents, some 5 talents, some 2 talents, some 1 talent, right? And some didn't use their talent. Tell your neighbor, say, that's not me.
That's not me.
See, it's a decision that each one of us have to make. Are we going to give God a return? He's washed us and cleansed us and made us whole, allowed us into his presence. He has turned everything. He went down into hell and he defeated your enemy. The only enemy you had has been vanquished of all his authority over your life. Isn't that wonderful? Your enemy has been defeated. He is no longer more powerful than you. You rule and reign over him and every one of his minions. You have dominion over him. Amen? See, most of the world thinks that you have God and the devil, and they fight. That's a lie. The devil is created. There is no fight between God and the devil. He's already been whooped. He's nothing. He's nothing but a lie in your mind. A lie says, I need something more than God. Isn't that what the lie always is?
Yeah.
Right? We said it many times. What John D. Rockefeller said, I need a little bit more. When they asked him, how much is enough? A little bit more. Right? Anyone that's, whether it comes into, whether it's drinking or drugs or whatever it is, I need something else. Right? Isn't that what we said? The mall says the same thing. You need something in order to be cool or to fit in or have the newest and the latest and the greatest. They know how the human psyche works, and they try to con us into believing that you have a greater need, or you need something more than what you possess. Can I tell you, you've got enough. It's the richest country in the world. You've got more than enough. The only time you don't have enough is when you don't believe you have enough. You all look like you've had enough food. Just throwing it out there. I'm in that boat. I haven't had enough. I've had more than enough. Right? I have overcome enough. I beat enough. When it comes to that, you're clothed wonderfully. Right? You're here. The air conditioning is on. Thank you, Jesus. What need do you have except one that's perceived in your mind in order to have something more before you can fulfill what God's called you to do? Oh, Lord, I need more of your word. He said, I wrote it all out for you. I'm not going to give you any more. We canonized it. It's 66 books. I gave you my word. What you do with it is up to you, but I gave you my word. Amen? Right, so we don't have need of getting more of his word, getting more understanding of his word, yes. But he's given us his word. He gave us the Holy Ghost. Man, what need do you have in the spirit realm? Is there anything more powerful on this planet than the Holy Ghost? He is God. Amen? Amen. He's God, and he lives on the inside of you. So what's the need? See, most of our needs are lies that the enemy has put into our mind that I need a little bit more. I need to get more. How many need another prophetic word? Have you fulfilled all of them that have been spoken over your life? I know I haven't yet. I don't need another word. Do I like them words? Love them. Love it when God encourages me through somebody else. But it's not a need that I have in order to fulfill what he's called me to do. All that I have need of, the Bible says, his hand has supplied. So what's the need? It's perceived. It's something that I've decided God hasn't given me enough, therefore I have to go out and try to attain. Crickets. But how much of our lives are about us running around trying to attain something that's less than what God has promised us? We're trying to attain things in order to control everything in our lives. The word says that we're to go and proclaim Jesus Christ and him crucified. And when we do, he'll draw all men unto himself. Right. So the need that we have is just to go out and preach Christ. That's it. And then he's going to add, he's going to draw them in, he's going to change their hearts. I don't have to try to change. You know how hard it is to try to change some of y'all's hearts? I quit. I gave up a long time ago. That is not my job. My job is to love him and love you. His job is to change your heart.
That's right.
Some of them, I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost has been pounding on some of them with a 10-pound sledgehammer. And some have been arguing with the king. I'm saying, nope, not yet. And the Lord says, why not? Because I need. What do you need? Can't tell you. Because I don't want to sound like an idiot. Isn't that the way it works? We've got some thought in our head that says, I have a greater need than what God has supplied. Therefore, I'm going to draw back from the plan of God, the purpose of God. I'm not going to step out in the faith, in the word of faith. I'm not going to step out and do what God called me to do because I'm not there yet because he hasn't done his job. Therefore, I'm going to keep trying to attain or try to collect or try to build something that's going to make me complete. When Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6 says that the only way that you're ever going to be complete or the only way, sorry, the scripture slipped out of my head, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be satisfied. Right? So the only way that we're going to be satisfied is when we agree that he's already met your need. Every single one of them. Even for eternity. Amen? See, because when we agree that he met our needs, we can shalom, shalom, shalom in everything. And nothing gets you off your game. Nothing gets me off my game. Does anything get me off my game, love?
Not a little,
sometime, yeah. Thank God for an honest woman. She's so kind and gracious, but truthful. And sometimes that hurts. We had a discussion yesterday. I didn't handle it so well, apparently. In my mind, I did. There was no yelling or none of that stuff. We were just talking. But what was said wasn't fun. How many times, you know, you have to go and think about what's said? And then when you get alone with God, and he agrees with your wife, it's a bad day, you know? You put your hands down. It's really tough when God's on her side, you know? Man. But it's so good. Because, you know, we're not here to tell each other what we want to hear. We're here to tell what the Word of God says. And that's it. We're not adding anything to it and taking anything away from it. So as the refining pot for silver and a furnace for gold bring forth all the impurities of the metal, so let a man be in his trial of praise. See, that's going to be the issue every day of your life. The trial in your life is a trial of praise. Where do we always blow it? We stop praising. We start complaining.
Yeah.
Right? See, because when I get into praise, nothing stops me. I got into praise this morning. I was having a good time. Me and the Holy Ghost was having a good time. I cranked it up. Where's Steve? Steve walked in this morning. I turned it back down. I pulled it down when he came in. Because I was just, by now, I mean, the Holy Ghost woke me up at like 3:40 this morning because he wanted me here a little bit earlier. Apparently, I have more issues than I realized. And he did more time with me before I got up and preached the Word of God. Sometimes he does that. So I got up early, and I got here a little bit earlier. So now by 7 o'clock, I've got, you know, 3 hours in already, 3.5 hours in, and I've got the music just cranked up, and I'm getting lost, and my praise is getting louder and louder. Steve walks in, I turned around, and he said, turn it back up. That's 70s and 80s right there, baby, all right? Right? He just said, yeah, turn it back up. Let's rock. I said, my wife hates it loud in the morning. He said, yeah, so does mine. I knew there was something about you I just love, Steve. But you know, the trial of praise is going to be the issue. You see, that fire comes to see what you're going to praise or what's going to stop you from praising. Because that's where the power is, isn't it? The power is in praise. That's where you get your victory. Because you're going to either praise the enemy or you're going to praise God. There's no in between. Right? Because you're either going to tell everybody how horrible your life is all the time, and you're always going to find a problem. Hey, how you doing today? Well, my back aches, my knee aches, my ankle. Oh, the stinking dog didn't come home last night. Sounds like a country song, I know. But either you're going to complain and talk about what God didn't do or what's not happening in your life, or we're going to praise him. Either we're going to agree with him that he's on the throne. How many agree he's on the throne? Is he on the throne of our hearts, though? Because anybody sitting next to you, just give your neighbor one of them. Just nice, slow. Everybody next to you knows what you're praising.
Oh, I got quiet now.
I'm here all by myself. I don't know anybody, I don't want to know anybody, and I want out of here. That's all I know. it's going to be a trial of praise. So you're going to have an opportunity to agree with the lie, agree with the hurt, agree with what went wrong, or you're going to agree with God that he's able. You're going to agree with God that he's able to bring you through. And he's the one that's turning up the heat. Why? Because he deserves a return on the deposit that he's made.
Amen.
Right? And so that silver, they mine silver, comes out, and there's all kinds of junk in it. So they heat it up, and they skim it off the dross, and they throw the dross, and then they refine it again to make sure there's no more silver in some of the dross, because they're getting every ounce out of it. But they clean it until the master can see his face and the reflection in it, and that's what God's doing with us. He's taking that. He allows things in our lives in order to walk us through into victory, to teach us to praise him in everything. Isn't that what the scripture says? We're to praise him, not for everything, but in everything. So the trial is always a trial of praise. That's the only decision we have to make. Who will get the glory? Whose name will be magnified? Will it be the liar, or will it be my Lord? Because there's only one of two, right? We're either going to blame everybody else in this room.
Yeah.
I blamed all y'all. I'm being honest. You have no idea how many times I wanted to quit.
Yeah.
I did. See that? Another honest man. He knows you guys too, apparently. He said, yeah, I believe it. Listen, I did. Why? Because sometimes things didn't go my way. Sometimes people said things that weren't nice. Yeah. Sometimes it was just tough. It was walking through. But you know what? It was God turning up the fire in my life so that I would start to praise him in everything. Because he wanted to see if I was going to be a coward and quit, or if I was going to answer the call of God all the days of my life.
Amen.
And there was some coward in me, I got to tell you. There was some coward in me, because there were some times I'm like, and I wanted to dive into the baptismal, and I was out of here. And then Monday came. And my wife would say, what? We're not going anywhere. And I knew God was on her side again. And then sometimes I would just get lost with God. And he would listen. How often does God listen to us? All the time. How much of it is worth listening to? Can I tell you, the person you're sitting next to feels the same way? How long do they have to hear the same thing all the time? See, it's a trial of praise. So we have to make a decision. What am I going to praise? Am I going to stand on the word of God and proclaim his majesty in everything? Or am I going to proclaim that the enemy has won because I can't do this anymore? Oh, it hurts. Oh, do you know what they did? Do you know what she did? You know what he did? Do you know what my father did? You know what my uncle did? You know what my grandfather did? And God said, yeah, I know it all. And I've made a way for you to walk in victory all the way through it and go and change the whole world. That's the answer. Look what it says after that. It says, ridding himself of all that is base or insecure. That pretty much sums us up. That's how we came into Christ. I don't know about you, but I did. I had insecurities. And pretty much, and most of the stuff that I knew, it was base. It was not worth having. Most of the understanding about life that I had was not coming from the word of God in righteousness. Most of it just came from human behavior. And most of us didn't grow up in a house where human behavior was perfect. Me and my sister didn't anyway. No offense, Mom. You did a great job, Mom. You did. She's amazing. And my gift from God. She really is, you know, just so thankful. In order to give him the glory and the praise, we're going to have to see ourselves the way that he spoke over us all the way to the end. It's not about looking where we're at right now. We're going to have to agree with what he said at the end, right? When Henry Ford was building the first cars, or maybe the second one, there's dispute over that. But the one that perfected the assembly line, he knew what he wanted. He could visualize it, but it took a little while. He never stopped until it got to a point that the point that he could see. Does that make sense? Right? He wrote it all down, and then he started putting things together, and it kept growing and getting bigger, and it got better every time. But the vision was seeing the finished product. Amen?
Amen.
Right. Same thing with our lives. If you're looking all the time at where you're at right now, you're going to complain most of the time. Right? But if we can just take a look and we can see where God is bringing us to and what he said we're going to become, and we have the ability and the power to become through him, then everything starts to change. Because what happened was, what stopped Henry Ford from building the very first assembly line or the biggest one? Nothing. People made complaints. People said, you can't do it. People condemned it. And then once the assembly line was up and running, he couldn't even get enough metal to build cars fast enough. So then he had to envision something even bigger, and he started bringing in the ore and melting it down and forming all his own metal for his cars because he couldn't get the steel fast enough. You see, so he went from the first vision that he saw, he completed that. But when he got done with that, it was so incredible that nobody else could sustain what he envisioned. Can I tell you? No one can sustain what God envisioned for your life.
Amen.
Nobody can handle what God envisioned for your life.
Right.
See, the issue is, can you handle what God envisioned for your life? Can I handle what God envisioned for my life? Why do you think we need the pot and the furnace to heat things up? Because we're not prepared for all that God has promised. So he wants to whittle away or melt down the base things, the insecurities in each one of our lives. He wants to get rid of them. Because you can't stand before people and be afraid of people. When does that change? When you start to praise him and care about his opinion rather than theirs. When you start to agree that greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. When you start to agree that you've been cleansed and made whole and he absolutely adores you. Tell your neighbor, say, he loves me. Some people, that's the first time you've ever said that about yourself, about God. Because we look at what we've done wrong. God's got something greater, amen? For a man is judged by what he praises and what he boasts. There's the key. We want to find out if we're being insecure and we're talking about base things. If we are, then we're talking about ourselves. It's just that simple. When we're talking about base things, when we're walking in our insecurities, then we're praising ourselves. When we praise ourselves, he's going to have to turn up the heat. All right? Husbands and wives. Honey, if I start talking about myself, just remind me, he's getting ready to turn up the heat. Not you, him. All right, just so we're clear. How many know we like to be the ones that try to adjust the flame under other people?
Yeah.
We're the ones that say, oh, I know what you need. As we sit in our own insecurities and fears, as we draw back from what God has promised over each one of our lives, I want you to know the promises of God are yea and amen to them that what?
Believe
and are called according to his purpose, right? So you've been called, now it's about believing, and therefore now the promises are yea and amen. Therefore, there's no limit to what God can do through any man or woman, any single one. Doesn't matter where you come from, doesn't matter what your education was. I think it was Spurgeon that he didn't have any formal training and started preaching the word of God. He became the prince of preachers. They still listen to his sermons today.
other people speaking them on the internet, and people put him on all the time. He believed God. He stepped out in faith. He wouldn't let go of the word of God. And he kept preaching what God's word said. Thousands of people's lives were changed. I want you to know, thousands of people's lives can be changed by each and every one of us. There's only 6,500 people living in the city of Hudson. Somewhere right around there. That's all there is. So we only need like 6 or 7 people to get serious with God. Each one win 1,000. We get the whole city saved and we go to another one. Right? Isn't that a good plan? All right, 6 or 7, see me afterwards. We'll sit down. We'll strategize. We'll write it down. And then we'll get a plan together. Let me tell you something. I don't want to spend the rest of my life here. There's other cities we have to go out and conquer. I don't want to spend my whole life here. I want to go with other men, take them, plant them in other cities. Ones that said, I'm all done praising the enemy. I'm starting to praise my God. I'm all done with my base and insecurities. Now I'm starting to say what he said over me. I'm all done running from the fire. How many have a fire extinguisher? As soon as God starts doing it. No, it's too hot. It's too hot. Oh, God, somebody told me I was supposed to be in ministry. No, I'm not going to church, honey. I have a headache. Let's find another church. They're not very nice. People run from the call of God. I want you to know, I don't care if it's a man or a woman. Our purpose is to change people's lives. But it all depends on the level of your praise. How many know there's different levels of praise? Right? How many agree the Bible says to shout unto God with a voice of victory?
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't raise your hand on this one. How many are afraid to shout in church?
Hallelujah!
Your victory comes from your shout.
Amen.
Yeah, but I don't want them people thinking about me like that. I'm not a psychopath like you are, Pastor. Yes, you are. You're just undercover. That's right. Jesus makes you crazy for him. When you get serious about him, see, the level of your praise will determine the level of your ministry. You come to church here and you're not going to sing unto your God. Let me tell you something. Get ready for the heat. It's going to turn up. You were created to be a worshiper.
Yes.
Right? Above everything else. He said, I want sons and daughters that are going to worship me first. That's it. Yeah, I ain't worshiping. I ain't doing what that pastor says. Flat top looking thing. Who's he think he is? Drill sergeant or something? I said, somebody tell me that the other day. You know, you act like a drill sergeant. So? Want me to tell you what you act like? A child of God. Listen, if you can't shout unto God with a voice of triumph, you're not walking in the victory that God has given you. It's just that simple. If you sit there, well, Pastor, you don't understand. I'm a quiet person. No, you're an insecure person. You're a fearful person. Because what about with perfect love, there is no fear. This is where God's bringing us to. Because until we're fearless, get ready. He's not trying to hurt. It's not God. God never does that. You do that all on your own. Don't we? We hurt ourselves all the time. If I could just shut my mouth, I'd hurt myself a lot less. me and Mike, me and Bill. Okay, a couple of honest men in here. What about the rest of these? How much pain have we brought into our lives because we gave praise to the wrong thing? We started praising the problem rather than the Prince of Peace. God wants to change each life in here this morning. Amen? He wants to change us. Your trial is going to be by praise. The training, that's all we do here. Training and equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. Thanks, Chris. Chris, we want some of that 70s and 80s. Okay, we don't want to turn it down. We want to turn it up. Why? Because I want to turn up my praise. I don't know about you, but I want to turn it up so loud that every demon in hell hears me scream in the name of Jesus Christ. So that when we walk in as the body of Christ, all we do is walk in and somebody says, how you doing? Hallelujah, I'm doing amazing. Whoa, psycho. I am. Really, it's only going to get worse. The older I get, it's only going to get worse. The only thing we're going to do is fall more in love with him so that we're more out of control in the Holy Ghost, loving people. Oh, if we would love people, everything starts to change. You see, because when we start to praise God, we turn off the television. Again, it gets quiet. Thanks, honey. Because the noise that we allow in here and the stuff we allow in here comes out here. So if we get lost in his word, teachings and trainings, equipping, and then get lost in worship, that's what will come out. And that changes people's lives. Your woes, woos, and boo-hoos do not change people's lives. Your incessant complaining does not change people's lives. It does not change your marriage. It does not change your children. We all tried it, didn't we? Yes. Sheesh. How come it took us years to figure it out that it didn't work? Because we're so smart. But if we'll start to praise him, everything starts to change. Let's stand up this morning. I only got through the first scripture on page 1 of 6 pages. But he just didn't want me to get off of that one point. Who are you going to praise? When you walk out of here, how are you feeling? My back, my knee. How about healed in the name of Jesus? Saying things that are not as though they are. Amen? Isn't that what faith does? Good. That's what we start to speak. How's our marriage? Strong in the name. Come on, baby. How's every one of our children fulfilling the call of God in their lives?
Yes.
Come on. Saying things that are not maybe as though they are. Not going to stop. We're not going to change the subject. We're not going to say, well, brother, you just don't understand. You don't get it. You're the preacher. Preachers get it. From you and 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 you. We get it all. Right? Because our lives are an open book up here before everybody. And you all watched and saw the victories and the non-victories. You watch our lives played out before you. They're not perfect. But thank God he is. But I want you to know, there's never going to be a time where everybody agrees with you and loves you. There is a time every day of your life that he does. Always. And when we start to praise him, we start to get set free. We start to praise him, everybody around us starts to change. Every morning starts to change when we start to praise him. And the sound of your shout will determine the height of your victory. I'm telling you, if you can give him a shout early in the morning, whether you got to stick your face in the pillow so you don't wake up the little ones, hopefully you go through 2 or 3 pillows by the end of the week, just screaming until there's holes in it. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Magnify him. The only thing you turn on when you get in the car is worship music starts to crank. Podcasts start to come on. The word of God being read over your speaker all day long. Because the only one you want to give glory to is him. And nothing else. Everything in our lives starts to change. This church starts to change. This whole community starts to change. Philmont starts to change. By the shout of the roar in this room. That's what's getting ready to change Philmont. Amen?
Amen.
The shout in this house is going to set that community free. That's what happens. It's not about us. We're already free indeed. But when we start to shout here in Hudson, they're free. They're getting free in Athens because we shouted here 8 years ago or 9 years ago. Amen? That's what happens. They're getting free in Livingston, Zambia because we shouted 15 years ago. They're getting free in India because we shouted 12 years ago. That's what happens. When we start to shout in a little bitty place called Hudson, everything starts to change no matter where we go. Things have been changing in Guatemala because of a shout that came from this house. So I want to encourage you, no matter what's going on in your life, you start to shout unto God with a voice of triumph. For he has made you victorious. Amen? Man. Listen, if you don't know Jesus Christ this morning, don't leave. Don't leave after service because I want to spend some time with you. It's your first time here? We're out of our minds, just so we're clear. And I make no excuse for it. He made me like this. Some was mom. She ate. For those of you who know my mom. But God's the one that makes us crazy about him. So we're willing to stand up in front of people. We're willing to go and pray for people in different places. We're willing to take all that we have and sow it into people's lives. We're willing to do that. Why? Because I know that the more that I give, God's going to give more so that I can give away more. Not so I can have more, but so we can give more. We got to get away from that idea. I get what I give. But what I get, what I'm given is so that I can give even more. I want to give to every country on the planet by the time I'm done. I don't care if it's $5 to every country. I want to give to every single country. Find somebody representing Jesus Christ and give to every country on the planet. Won't that be fun? Amen. In order to do that, you're going to have to get the revelation of giving too. Your time, your effort, the stuff that he gives you will change people's lives around the world. One seed sown. We're going to sow seed in Brazil, right? Oh, yeah. We're going down there to plant a church, aren't we?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they got a house down there. They said, you come on down. I said, January to March, I'm planting a church. I'm planting a church in Brazil. If you don't see me, you know where I am. It's all I know. Maybe I'm not going to Brazil. You don't have to. I'll go all by myself. You go where God called you to go.
That's right.
Not the Bahamas. Oh, come on. How loud your praise going to be? Is it going to be loud enough to drive out every lie the enemy has ever put in there? Is it going to be loud enough to drive it out of your house? Is it going to be loud enough to drive it out of your extended family? Is it going to be loud enough that wherever you walk in your work area, everybody's lives start to change because you refuse to give way to the lie or the complaining of the enemy? The only thing we give is the truth, and the truth sets people free. That's what we give. The truth. In the name of Jesus. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. And Lord, even though we don't want it necessarily, we understand the purpose of it. When you turn up that heat, when you allow us to walk through certain areas, purifying each one of us, getting rid of the foolishness, getting rid of the foolish thoughts, getting rid of the lies of the enemy. But we never know how we're going to respond until we walk through it. And Father, we thank you for those times that you have brought us through. Each and every time. Lord, we've had many different opportunities in our lives. And we've walked through them with your righteous right hand leading us. And Lord, we stand here today as your sons and daughters saying thank you for all that you have brought us through. Lord, we know you turned up the heat in each one of our lives because you expect more. You have more. But we're going to have to look more like you, sound more like you, act more like you, putting you before our eyes and our ears and allowing you to be praised out of our mouths. So, Father, we thank you for each and every opportunity that you've given us in our lives to become more like Christ. Lord, I pray that we would have greater understanding right now, that every time the trick comes, the trap is set to try to get us to complain, to get us to get our eyes off of your words, to get us to say something contrary to the victory that you have given us through Jesus Christ. Lord, that your Holy Ghost would stop us in our tracks. Holy Spirit, come, fill everyone with a fresh anointing this morning. So that everyone, Lord, that all of a sudden their tongue just gets shut down. Their foot stops. They try to walk and they can't go until you remind them, wait a minute, this is about the praise. It's time to turn up the praise, but only for the King of Glory. Lord, I pray that you would show us and give us those that surround us. You said that there's wisdom in a multitude. Lord, let us take the wisdom from those around us who have already gone through so many fires, so many purifications. And Lord, we see as we get older that the little things don't make, they're not a big deal anymore. They don't matter like they used to. They used to consume us. Our whole thought, our whole day would be shot because one thing going wrong, and now we look at it and we just chuckle because you brought us through. Because you showed us how merciful you are, how gracious you are, how powerful you are, how your anointing has destroyed the yoke in our lives. Father, we thank you. I pray for all the older ones to grab a hold of some younger ones and say, it's okay, you can make it. Come on, follow me as I follow Christ. Don't worry about it, son. Don't worry about it, little girl. Everything will be fine. Everybody walks through that. Come on. Keep your eyes on him. Lord, give strength to everyone in here this morning. And let our hearts be prepared for every trial that comes to give you praise. Ridding ourselves of the foolish things of this world. Ridding ourselves of the insecurities that come because of mere mortal men. Ridding ourselves of the judgment as we get into the law at times. But Father, bringing ourselves to preach God's goodness, his grace, through mercy that comes every morning. Thank you, Father, for opening up our eyes and our ears to hear what you have for each one. And Lord, it's our desire that you get a return on the investment you've made for each one of us. Forgive us for hiding it, for covering it, for taking that lamp and putting that bushel basket over it, as your word says. Lord, we're burning that bushel basket today so we can never use it again, because we want our light to shine all the days of our lives for the glory of God. Father, we agree that as Paul told that jailer, you and your household shall be saved. Oh God, Lord, that starts to get us excited. That starts to stir us up on the inside. Lord, when we look at all the things that are going on in all of our extended families, it's like, Lord, how is that ever going to happen? But yet your word says it, therefore we believe it. And Lord, now we start to lift up a shout of praise. Oh, we start to magnify you, not looking at man in his base and insecurities, but Lord, we look to your word and we start to say, hallelujah, my God's doing a work. Hallelujah, he'll have his way in their lives. Hallelujah, because I stand on his word, all things are possible because we believe in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, today we believe because you said it, and we're going to worship as believers in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, hallelujah! Come on, one more time. Hallelujah! There's your victory shout over every area this week. Amen? Amen? God bless you. Grab a hold of somebody and let them know how victorious you are. And I better not hear no complaining today either.